Hello and welcome to Quarter Time Podcast in partnership with Lovell Netball. I'm Lucy G.
And I'm Lucy P. And we're here to bring you all the netball goodness you never knew you needed. As listeners of the pod will know, we are passionate about netball and women's sport. So it's really disappointing to hear that 3 in 5 girls skip sport on their period due to fear of leaking.
However, our friends at Modibody have teamed up with Puma to launch their brand new super absorbent leak-proof 2-in-1 active shorts. The shorts hold up to 2 to 3 tampons worth of blood, meaning that you can wear them to stay active at any time of the month. And the added bonus is that they are super flattering and make you look like a total athlete. They even make me look like an athlete, which is saying something.
As sponsors of the podcast, Modibody are delighted to offer our listeners an exclusive 15% discount at modibody.com if you use the code QTRModibody. You can find all the T's and C's and the code in our podcast notes, so go check it out.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 3 of our Netball World Cup coverage. We're halfway through day 2 at the Netball World Cup. Luce, how are you feeling?
Mate, I am honestly in heaven right now. It is so amazing being here in Cape Town and just being surrounded by netball. I mean, everywhere you look, there is just netball, and it is amazing.
Yeah, no such thing as too much netball if you ask us. So speaking of netball, what's coming up on the episode today?
So today's episode, we're going to take a look at how the tournament is shaping up so far. We'll bring you up to date with all the results from days 1 and 2 of the competition up till lunchtime. And we're going to reveal our quarter time trio, the shooter, mid-quarter and defender who we've been impressed by so far in the competition. And finally, we look ahead to day 3 of the comp and give our matchup of the day prediction.
Lovely stuff. So before we get stuck into the summaries, give me your thoughts overall on the tournament, on the competition, the vibes, the arena, give me everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fantastic overall. I think it's just a huge celebration of netball, which is always amazing. As with any event, there's been some teething issues that have come in at the start of the competition. And we know that there's some issues around the stats as well, that some of those aren't being quite accurately recorded at the moment. But everyone is working so hard behind the scenes, and you would not believe the amount of volunteer enthusiasm that there is here. Everyone's super friendly. They're just really helpful. And I think that overall, it's been a fantastic start to the tournament.
Yeah, really loving life at the moment. That's the only way to put it, to be honest. So Luce, let's get stuck in then to day 1, the first game of the tournament. Take it away.
So New Zealand versus Trinidad and Tobago, 76-27 in this one. As expected, New Zealand put this away pretty comfortably, and they got all 12 on court in multiple combinations. They were looking really sharp and fast. Trinidad had moments of brilliance, but they were a bit too inconsistent, although a shout out has to go to Jolisa Cooper, who was critical for Trinidad in the goal attack position and had some incredible feeds under all sorts of pressure from arguably two of the best goal defenders in the world in Karen Berger and Phoenix Carricker.
Yeah, I mean, the prospect of coming up against them, man, is just...
I would simply go home.
Yep, there you go. I hadn't even noticed. I'm off. So following this game then was Tonga versus Fiji. Tonga taking the win 56-51. This was a really cracking battle, and I genuinely couldn't call it either way for the majority of the game. For Fiji, their shooters absolutely stole the show. The speed of their hands and the ball work and their footwork as well was phenomenal. And for Tonga, Monya Gerard really led from the back and was such an intimidating presence. But for me, it was Halita Veve who came up with 2 crucial intercepts exactly when her team needed it. And they were just able to remain composed and take the win.
Yeah. Oh, what a corker that was on the first day.
Yep. And following this, we also had another scorcher, Australia versus Zimbabwe, with a big scoreline, 86-30 to Aussies. Zimbabwe did come to play, though, in the first quarter. And I think Mishaw in goalkeeper had some really stellar moments, but she did suffer quite heavily with the umpire's whistle. She had 28 penalties alone, which is almost as many as the entire Aussie team put together with 33.
Yikes.
The accuracy on the shot also let them down a bit with Matura, only on 56% at the end of the game. Diamonds, however, were fast and ferocious, but they did start a little bit slow by their own very, very lofty standards. they rolled out almost two entirely different squads, as we probably expected, to be honest, in the first and second half. And I think they're just looking pretty damn hot.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say they're looking fast and furious there, make a little cheeky Fast and the Furious reference.
Oh, no, I'm old, but... Oh, no, I am that old, actually. That's my generation.
Next up, it was Uganda versus Singapore. 79 Uganda, 37 to Singapore. Uganda pretty strong in this game. Nikita was on a mad one. And to be honest, the whole team were just very tenacious for those loose balls. A tough scoreline for Singapore, but considering how high Uganda are ranked above them, I think they can be pretty proud of the scoreline. They only had one option to ball at times, and the shooting percentage at 70% compared to Uganda's 92% did let them down. Interestingly, coach Fred Maguire, the coach of Uganda, spoke about the number of young players that they have. They actually have the third youngest team on average and only two players who've previously appeared at a Netball World Cup. So we'll have to see if that impacts them as we go through the competition.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm loving the look of Uganda so far, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it might just be in those crucial games that lack of experience does start to show. So talking of experience, South Africa played Wales 61-50 on day one as well. And this game was just amazing. Great win for South Africa. And both in terms of emotion and the quality of the netball we saw, it was just incredible. It would certainly have been our game of the day if it hadn't been for what happened later on in the day, which we'll get onto. And Venter got the start. There is a suspected injury to Linnie's Potgieter, and she wasn't involved in the warm-up, had quite a lot of strapping on her knees as well. And Venter actually ended up getting player of the match and was astonishingly good. Apart from the first quarter, there was only a one or two goal margin between the two sides in terms of the quarter score. So I think Wales will be pretty pleased with that. Overall, South Africa just rode the momentum, used the power of the crowd to their advantage.
Yeah, it's a shame that Wales had the slow start. Otherwise, who knows what could have been. Following this then was Jamaica versus Sri Lanka with the biggest scoreline that I've seen in quite a while. It's 105-25 to Jamaica. It was our first century of the 2023 Netball World Cup, courtesy of Jamaica, who really made their presence known. Khadija Williams actually had to do an emergency exit from the game, and the poor thing literally threw up outside, just outside the door. I know, I felt so sorry for her. She had a funny tummy. I spoke to Connie Francis about it afterwards. But Adine Thomas and Nicole Dixon-Rochester really put on a dominant display while she was gone. They were very impressive. Sri Lanka definitely struggled with the relentlessness of Jamaica, but they did have great patches of play and some really good ball speed throughout.
Yeah, interesting. God, Jamaica are looking scary, aren't they?
Super scary. Speaking of super scary, England versus Barbados, another whopping scoreline, 90-29. And it was our first glimpse of the Roses, and they did not disappoint. We saw speed, execution, combinations, and I would argue some lessons learnt, actually, which is interesting. With the exception of Malawi, England have the oldest squad on average with the highest number of average caps. And I think their experience really showed on court yesterday. For Barbados, it was such a joy to see the Corbin sisters playing together at a Netball World Cup at long last. And they really brought some speed and fire to the Barbados attacking end. We also saw Kadeen in goalkeeper, which was not on my Netball World Cup bingo card, I have to say.
Interesting. Yeah, Layla in the press conference said it was kind of weird coming up against Kadeen and Sasha while playing for England. But yeah, oh, great to see them enjoying their first World Cup. And next up, we had Malawi versus Scotland. Oh, this was such a close one. 55-49 to Malawi in the end. But Scotland were leading by as much as 11 goals at one point in this game. They just played sharp, smart and clinical netball for probably 43 minutes. And then first quarter particularly, I think we saw their connections really shine. And Malawi just looked a little bit lost at times. It looked like they were still maybe in the hotel room at points. However, by the end of the third quarter, the errors started to creep in for Scotland, credit to just huge defensive pressure from Malawi. And they were just too strong in the final quarter. Malawi winning that 20-8, spurred on by a raucous crowd. Pretty disappointing for Scotland, but they will learn so much from that result and then gain a lot of confidence from the first three quarters.
Yeah, definitely. It's such a heartbreaking result for them. First game of day two then is New Zealand versus Uganda, with New Zealand coming away victorious 54-44. And wow, 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 what a scorcher of a game. You can't help but think what could be for Uganda if they even had just a fraction of the resources that the top four nations have. They performed outstandingly in the first half in particular, showed incredible patience in attack, but it was the repeated efforts and the recycling and the working of ball that really exhausted them. They needed that quick route to goal, but they just couldn't find it. Grace Weke said in the post-match interview that they never felt like they were in any danger of losing, which I thought was quite interesting, given it was very close to three quarters of the game. I would say, however, that New Zealand showed that they're not infallible. And I really do think that when the top teams do finally meet each other, we are going to have goal for goal games in our hands. I don't think anyone's going to like really get a super strong lead.
Yeah, I think so. Or it's going to be a case of one quarter is a big blowout and all the rest are super tight.
Yeah,
I think that could potentially happen on a few occasions as well. Next up then, Zimbabwe versus Fiji, with Fiji taking the win 52-48. Oh my days, this game was absolutely wild. Fiji just said, right, this is our moment. We're going to go for it and grab it with both hands. And their coach, Una, was pretty emotional in the post-match interview. And no wonder. At the start, Fiji were trying to play a bit too quickly, but they grew in patience throughout the game and started to adjust to the reactive and athletic Zimbabwe defenders. I actually felt Zimbabwe probably made a few too many changes personnel-wise during the game. But one player I was impressed by was Nalani Makunde. She was very accurate to post and finding nice space. And it's not an easy task against Kalira Noe Thauthau.
Yeah, 100%.
Next up then was Australia Tonga, with Australia taking the win 83-35. And it was a pretty even first quarter. And then the Aussies just dominated, winning quarter two by 24-6. I do think that Tonga have a lot of the raw materials, but they were nowhere near as clinical as the Diamonds. And structurally, they struggled to break apart the Diamonds' centre pass defence. And the Diamonds obviously forced a lot of those real hoik and hope passes. Mm. With that tight one-on-one defensive style, there was just no options. We also saw Sarah Clough out at goal defence, as well as Austin at wing attack, showing just how versatile those shiny old Diamonds are across the court.
Oh, they really are, like, painfully so. I have a bit of Clough at goal defence, actually.
Yeah, me too.
And then final day for the morning session of day two was Jamaica versus Wales, with another big win for Jamaica, 75-40. And, you know, this is always going to be a tough game for Wales, but it's such great experience to have the exposure against a team like Jamaica. There's so much you can learn from it. Jamaica really just outmuscled Wales and were always the first ones on the scraps and those kind of 50-50 balls. But for Wales, though, it wasn't all doom and gloom. We saw some really cool combinations across the court, including Nancy Kuti taken to both goal shooter and goalkeeper. I'll tell you what, she has actually been really fun to watch and she's got some brilliant elevation. So no doubt she is a star of the future for Wales.
Yeah, could not agree more. I hope we see her signed to a Super League team next season.
Yeah, definitely. So coming up after the break, we reveal our quarter time trio from days one and two and look ahead to our upcoming matchup of the day for day three.
So, Luce, the Netball World Cup is here. And as you know, I simply could not be more excited.
Oh, mate, tell me about it. It's the biggest event of the netball calendar. And what better way to show your support for the Roses than by heading to lovelnetball.co.uk and picking yourself up some of the Roses fan wear?
Oh, of course. And I actually have this, okay, this is a bit embarrassing, but I have this weird superstition that when I watch England play, I have to be wearing some kind of kit, like a top or a hoodie or something. Otherwise, I convince myself that if they don't win, it was all my fault.
Oh my God, that is literally insane. But at least you and our listeners can get 15% off at lovelnetball.co.uk with the code NETPOD15 until the end of August.
Amazing. Happy shopping, guys. So, Luce, our quarter time trio then, so far in the competition. Obviously, it's only been a few games, but I feel like we've had a pretty good look at most people. From an attacking perspective then, I'll kick us off. So, there were a lot of options for this. Cara Conan, Mary Chollock, they were both up there. But I've actually gone for Una Raluni, the goal attack for Fiji. Mm. Stats-wise against Tonga, she put up 25 from 26 at 96%, 16 feeds, 2 rebounds and 20 centre pass receives, which was the second most on court for both teams, but the most on court for Fiji. That's a pretty decent shift.
Yeah, for sure.
And against Zimbabwe, she shot 28 from 30 at 93% and had a game-high 28 feeds and 14 centre pass receives, which was the equal highest for Fiji. But what was most impressive for me was her variety. She wasn't just doing one thing all the time. She created so much space in the attacking end, really mixing things up on the feed, and was applying pressure throughout the midcourt defensively too. So yeah, fantastic couple of days from her.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think she's been absolutely critical to Fiji's success so far and will be throughout the rest of the competition as well. I loved her on day one. So yeah, loving your choice, Luz. Great choice.
Who have you gone for in the midcourt, Luz?
So midcourt wise, I've gone to Uganda and I've gone for Margaret Bagala. I was so, so impressed with Margaret in today's game against New Zealand. Although Uganda as a whole did struggle with the zone, Margaret just brought such leadership in that attack. She showed great patience. She's genuinely so happy to work the ball as much as is needed, but she was also still a real driving force in their game today. And anytime there was an opening, she always found it. She was always driving through it. It was really cool. She had 27 feeds, which was the most on court. But you do have to take that with a bit of a pinch of salt, given how much rotation New Zealand had across the court, including their midcourt. But for yesterday's game against Singapore, her stats are amazing. She had 43 feeds, which is most on court, and almost twice as high as the next highest feeder. She had an intercept, a deflection with a gain, and five pickups. And the thing for me is that she has played 60 minutes across both games in the first 2 days of the competition. And I do think there is a real risk of her being burnt out by the time we get to the business end of the competition.
Yeah, that is a concern. To be honest, I think that load management as a whole is a really big consideration for coaches, especially as the games get harder as we go along.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And so to finish our trio off then, who have we got for defender?
Well, this was a really tough choice because there's been a lot of very, very strong defensive performances. Monia Gerard, basically anyone from New Zealand. But I've gone for Shamira Sterling.
Of course, of course.
I think that's pretty much all you need to say on that.
Say no more.
No, she had 8 games in 30 minutes against Sri Lanka, 7 games in 45 minutes against Wales. And according to the stats, which, as we said, may not be 100% correct, but just one penalty.
Wow, that's pretty exceptional.
Yeah. So she is obviously in red hot form going in. I think all of her combinations with the other Jamaican players have been really firing as well. And yeah, she's frightening.
Yeah, she really is. And I spoke to Rob Wright in the post-match interview after the Wales game, and he was like, you know, we really have been looking at the defensive combinations, and something they learned from Com games is that they probably should have rested certain players more. So that rotation is something they've really been working on. And I'm loving a bit of Shamira and GD as well.
Yeah, live for it, live for it.
And so we are recording this on Saturday, 29th of July at lunchtime. So we have the following games coming up this afternoon. We've got South Africa versus Sri Lanka, Scotland versus Barbados, England versus Malawi, excited for that one, and Trinidad and Tobago versus Singapore. So any of those sticking out to you, Luz?
Yeah, I think the England-Malawi one is going to be really critical. Yeah. I think that the Roses need to come out strong in that game because also Malawi are going to be wounded. Obviously, they didn't lose to Scotland yesterday, but they nearly did. And so they want to put right that performance that they put out there. So I think England need to just make sure they start fast and exploit the Malawi errors.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm really keen to see what the starting lineup is for England. Obviously, we saw Fidoju start on the bench yesterday. So I wonder if she'll be in that GD bib. Who knows? Not long to find out. Finally, then, we're going to take a look to our matchup of the day for day three, which is, of course, Jamaica versus South Africa. Luz, what players do you think are going to be uber critical in that game?
Well, I mean, obviously, Shamira Sterling goes without saying, but also for Jamaica, I think that if Adine Thomas can fire and keep her error rate low, then that will be really fantastic for Jamaica. And I guess from a South Africa perspective, I mean, I think they all need to have a great day against Jamaica, if I'm honest. Venter will be really critical. Obviously, we don't know about Lenise Potgieter, if she's going to be back in the side, if she's going to be replaced potentially, you know, and what that would mean for South Africa. But I do think the Proteas have got a tough game on their hands against Jamaica.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's that goal attack position's really key. Vandenberg started against Wales, I believe it was, and her shooting accuracy was not where she would like it to be. Mm-hmm. So, like you say, everyone's going to have to be firing for them to take the win. And what do you expect the result to be? Can you call it?
Oh, Jamaica, but I think it will be within 10 goals.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say Jamaica, but I think it may be 10 plus, essentially.
Interesting. I'll bet you a chocolate bar then, Luce.
Oh, Roger. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Quarter Time Podcast. As you know, we're bringing you daily coverage from the Netball World Cup with new episodes, live podcasts, and social media content. So do keep an eye on our social media channels for all of the information you need, including our overall content schedule.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media at Quartertime Pod for the latest netball updates. Do get involved in the conversation online by letting us know what you thought of the matches so far in the World Cup and which players you've got your eye on. We love hearing from you guys, so please do get in touch.
Genuinely do. And we also have three live podcasts coming up, the first of which is on Sunday, the 30th of July at 8:30 p.m. South Africa time. So that is 7:30 p.m. UK time. We record these via Twitter Spaces, so head over to Twitter at QuarterTimePod for all the details.
Also, make sure you check out Netball Scoop's content. They're putting out loads of really good daily wraps, so we'll link to them in our show notes. And finally, we would really appreciate if you can take a moment to rate and review, as it helps other people to find the podcast. If you enjoy listening to the pod, please do let us know and do spread the word with all your netball pals so even more people can get involved. I'm seeing so many watch parties and stuff happening as well, which is so cool. So yeah, get around it. There's no better time to get fully immersed. And don't forget as well to take advantage of our exclusive 15% discount with Lovell Netball by entering the code NETPOD15 at the checkout at lovellnetball.co.uk. Woo, Luce. So we made it. Take care, everyone, and see you soon. Bye.
Bye.